UB40 from signing off to start the hour, and King and the Beat there with Too Nice to Talk To at 40 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. A third of Britons are secretly hoping for a lockdown Christmas to avoid family they don't like, according to a study. As the UK was plunged into a second lockdown last week, a new survey has shown that 4 in 10 see lockdown restrictions as the perfect excuse to swerve annoying relatives. Now, the national survey of 2,000 people also found that participants think that a more exclusive guest list will lead to better food and drink, with 22% hoping for higher quality booze to wash down their Christmas dinner with restrictions in place. Now, the study by the drinks company Vincrowd found that in total 44% of people are looking forward to a quieter Christmas, with some describing it as a relief, with no more bad food or booze with people you don't really want to see. And just under 10% have even taken up cocktail making ahead of the holiday to boost fancy festivities without the stress of the family lurking by the drinks cabinet. Have a small chicken instead this year.
Small chicken?
A small chicken instead of a large turkey. We're supposed to be having a big family Christmas in Bordeaux, and I've been designated as cook.
Oh, there you go, you didn't get out of it.
Nightmare, cooking for all those French people.
Oh, you... putting you to the test.
Might try one of their my pies out on them. Qu'est-ce que c'est? C'est la tourte steak rognon. Tuesday's pop quiz.
It certainly is. Question number one. Which British artist sang backing vocals on Carly Simon's hit record, So Vain? Correct. Question number two. What was the original name of the band that became Oasis?
Oh, God knows. No.
Rain. And finally, which was the first single to sell over 2 million copies in the UK? It remains the fourth biggest seller in the UK. Paul McCartney and the Wings. Let's give you a clue.
Mull of Kintyre.
Correct.
Was it?
It was.
Christmas Records.
Not just yet.
It's traditionally associated with Christmas. I was playing at Christmas. And never at any other time of the year. Still, it is nearly the middle of November.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we've said boom a number of times over the last few years, but not in relation to the markets, really. But it certainly was a case of boom yesterday, wasn't it?
Certainly was. Risk asset surged, bond yields, jumped, crude and US dollar rallied, gold, Japanese yen, Swiss franc all slumped, investors abandoned safe havens, and increased exposure to cyclical investments just after US pharmaceutical giant Pfizer and BioNTech announced its COVID-19 vaccine showed a 90% efficacy in preventing coronavirus infections. The results are based on a study involving more than 40,000 volunteers we've heard in multiple countries, setting the scene for a potential approval before year end. So positive are the results were published much earlier than anticipated. The efficacy is exceptionally strong. A 50 to 60% efficacy is normally considered a good outcome. So this is obviously way above that. There are a number of reasons I think we've got to be perhaps a little bit cautious. Pfizer can make something like 50 million doses of the vaccine by year end. Treatment requires two shots. So that's 25 million people this year. The forecast is for 1.3 billion doses by the end of 2021. So it's a long time for a large-scale rollout to be implemented. On the logistics, vaccine, as we know, needs to be stored at minus 80 degrees. So some concerns about how that's going to play out. Questions over the length of immunity, only validated for 28 days so far. This is, of course, very new. And then we start thinking about longer-term effects, side effects, and vaccine hesitancy infringing upon that herd immunity prospect. So
we should remember that there's a lot of other vaccines in development as well, and the signs are that some of those will be able to come to the market as well. So really some good news.
There's a real pathway now, isn't there? This first tangible move. We've been talking about this idea that a normalization of activity will only occur when a vaccine has been tested, developed and distributed, then this is the first real step towards that. Markets reacted to it. MSCI All Country World Index hit a record high yesterday. Europe outperformed as the value play came in. Stock 600 was up 4%, its best day since May. Stock 600 traded its highest level since March. That rotation into value stocks played out. Best performing sectors were the banks, the energy, travel and leisure stocks. the Megatech heavyweight stay-at-home trade came under pressure yesterday. So we saw weakness in the likes of Ocado, Just Eat. Zoom was down 20%. Peloton was off as well. Small caps outperformed. And we saw evidence of that actually on Wall Street. S&P 500 was positive, was up 1.2%. But as well off the session highs, was up 3.9% at one stage. The Nasdaq was down 1.5% yesterday. The reflation trade came back into view. Bond yield spiked. 10-year Treasury yield jumped 11 basis points to 0.92%.
As Professor Jonathan Van Tam, or JVT to his friends, put it yesterday, it's like the cup filing ending in a one-all draw and it goes to penalties. And the first side comes up, takes the penalty, scores. So although you haven't won the cup, you know the goalie can be beaten.
Yeah, that's, I quite like the analogy. This is pretty good. There's all sorts of people coming up with weird and wonderful ways to describe the momentous day, as Pfizer described it, for humanity and for science. But as I say, perhaps got to be a little bit more cautious. And actually, if you look at the opening calls on the European bourses, perhaps a dose of reality set to hit them today.
Fakers.
Currently calling the FTSE down 42 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 141 points. CAC Corn and Press off 65 points.
You've been thinking about that one all night, hadn't you?
I wouldn't say so, no.
Yeah.
I was trying to do the Rubik's Cube, yes. Have you?
No.
So Henry bought a Rubik's Cube. They're so difficult. Can you do a Rubik's
no,
Cube?
No. Never been able to do it, I'm afraid. My daughter can.
Miserable.
She can do it.
Can she?
Yeah.
I'm going to send it to her. So there's online videos. I mean, these are ridiculous, quite frankly. I spent like 3 hours doing it from about 11 o'clock last night.
Is it any more complicated than putting together a piece of IKEA furniture?
I would imagine it's right up there, to be honest with you.
Okay. So these vaccines have to be stored at minus 80 degrees Celsius, do they?
Apparently so.
Well, maybe Boris Johnson's got some room in that freezer he's been so keen in hiding in recently.
From DMTV, he hides in the freezer, doesn't he? Yeah. So deep freeze. I suppose you can use liquid nitrogen, can you? I suppose, you know, there's some debate around the logistics of what this actually means. I think we're probably getting slightly ahead of ourselves.
So, I mean, you know, you just put it in the freezer next to the Grey Goose. Bob's your uncle, you know.
quick shot of both and off you go.
Well, don't mix them up. That's the only thing.
Yes.
Will you be queuing up to have the vaccine if it's offered to you?
I would imagine so, to be honest with you. I was looking at the World Health Organization around this concept of vaccine hesitancy with people, you know, vaccine is available, but people, for whatever reason, decide not to take it. This is a new vaccine, and you could argue that hesitancy rate could be even higher than that. And the World Health Organization lists that in the top 10 of global health threats. So it does tell you there are some elements to the distribution that we still need to be perhaps a little bit careful of, and it's hard to understand exactly how much of the population would have to take it in order for us to get to that herd immunity element and whether that will be achieved.
Gosh, right, you sound like you've been doing your homework on it.
Well, a bit of Rubik's Cube, a bit of vaccine, it was a busy night.
Oh, well, that's just before the golf kicks off on Thursdays, and you're...
Oh, huge. I wonder what the Masters will be. It'll be interesting, isn't it? You think about an autumn Masters, no azaleas, I wonder how the course will play. I think
soft, apparently.
You're not going to see the ball moving around the greens like you normally do.
The weather should be reasonably nice in Augusta at this time of year, though, shouldn't it?
I would hope.
So is the dust settled from Joe Biden's victory in the US election? I mean, Donald Trump isn't giving it up, is he?
He hasn't been seen for quite a while, it has to be said.
Apart from on the golf course.
Yeah, he's been playing a little bit of golf, but no official event yesterday. I mean, it's quite interesting, isn't it? You sort of saw President-elect Biden standing in front of doing a news conference on the vaccine yesterday. It sort of almost has assumed power, hasn't he? And sort of cracking on with the process, and President Trump seems to have disappeared a little bit. So it would be interesting to see how these next couple of months play out in terms of how he uses executive powers, President Trump, but market's very much looking to what the next administration will deliver.
I don't want to be a doomsayer, but Joe Biden looked exceptionally tired yesterday, I thought, and he stumbled over his words quite a few times.
Yeah, he did, but it's been a long campaign. It's been a busy few weeks for him, so no doubt as the dust settles, he'll be able to rejuvenate himself and push on from here.
And McDonald's results out as they introduce a new plant burger.
Yeah, apparently the trials have gone very well for the new plant burger, and then we'll roll it out across the network. McDonald's said sales have largely recovered Third quarter sales fell 2.2%. In fact, the US were up 4.6%, but a sizable improvement from the 24% drop, of course, experienced in the second quarter as countries allowed restaurants to reopen. So they're benefiting from strong demand through its drive-through services, and bigger orders have helped to offset fewer customer visits. Did warn that government restrictions are once again hurting its operations in France, in Germany, in Canada, and the UK. McDonald's said they would continue to invest in the to-go service as the pandemic persists. Maybe the vaccine will encourage them to rethink that idea. For 2021, it expects sales growth in mid-single digits, similar to 2019, continuing to expand in the likes of China and other international markets.
I'm loving it.
I'm not sure you really hit the right tone there, did you?
Foreign exchanges, please.
Not going to be able to go to that McDonald's in Monaco with that tune, I don't think. Pound against the dollar coming in at 131.5. Euro dollar coming in at 118. 1 euro, 11.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
It's overrated, McDonald's. I'd rather make my own burgers.
Do you not like McDonald's? I got the kids some McDonald's actually at the weekend for the first time in months, and they seem to quite like it. McDonald's is still nice.
Well, the anticipation is best than the actual event, isn't it?
Well, that may be true, actually. Yeah. That may be very true.
And the chips are always soggy and cold by the time you... If you go to the drive-thru and get them home, they're cold by the time you get them back.
Lots of people I saw were eating McDonald's in the car, to be honest. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that, but...
It's the car all stinky.
Yeah, that's true. Make your own.
Right, thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you in the morning. Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
So, Lisa has the top stories across the Riviera.
Teaching unions in France, have threatened strike action today against the lack of health measures in schools due to COVID-19. Many teachers don't understand why the health protocol has been stepped up by the government in high schools, but not in lower education establishments such as college and primary education. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Health has announced that from next week, 1 million antigenic tests for COVID-19 will be made available for teaching staff. The tests will be carried out by school nurses on a voluntary basis. The Ministry of Education has reported that out of the 12 million students in France, 3,528 have tested positive to date and 1,165 staff. The minister estimates that the number of cases of COVID-19 among students and teachers was currently under control. As the French government attempts to encourage small businesses to launch their business online due to closure during the lockdown in France, Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire has promised traders a direct aid of €500 from January to digitalise their activity. The minister also said he was in favour of relaxing the opening hours of shops, especially on Sundays, to allow them to make up as much as possible for the lost turnover once the lockdown is lifted. With this year's Black Friday taking place on the 27th of November, the minister also pointed out that he was unable to ban online Black Friday promotions as demanded by some smaller traders. Many small businesses in town centres across France have reacted angrily at the suggestion to invest online in websites, which can cost up to €3,000 to set up, saying that they can't see the point of paying high rents, employing staff, and in addition be expected to invest in online services, which in their view do not offer the personalised service. In Lyon on Monday, 200 traders protested against the lockdown measures, brandishing banners saying "Let us work," as demonstrators dressed in black and carried a coffin, symbolising the death of their business, representing a wide range of trades from shopkeepers, restaurants, hairdressers to gallery owners. The French Director General of Health, Jérôme Salomon, has said that the peak of the epidemic is yet to be reached. Speaking during an update on the coronavirus situation on Monday evening, he said that there had been 551 deaths from COVID-19 in French hospitals during the past 24 hours, bringing the total number of deaths to 40,987. In our region, a larger number of patients are now in intensive care in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur than at the peak of the first wave. That's according to figures from the Regional Health Agency. At a press conference, Director Anthony Valdez said that on Monday, 503 patients were in intensive care compared to 420 patients at the first peak earlier this year. Regional Health Agency manager Philippe Demester said that about 30 deaths per day from COVID-19 are being recorded in the PACA region, which he said was creating difficulties in the region's morgues, but those problems are being addressed. The latest COVID-19 figures for the Outmaritime region shows that 413 people are currently hospitalised, including 73 in intensive care. To date, the total number of people hospitalised in the region since the start of the epidemic stands at 2,435, with 441 in intensive care. 1,608 patients have returned home since the start of the pandemic, and 296 people have died from COVID-19 in the Outmaritime. In the Var region, COVID-19 figures show that 427 people are currently hospitalised, including 58 in intensive care. Since the start of the epidemic, 2,280 people have been hospitalised, with 331 in intensive care. 268 people have died, and 1,621 patients have returned home. For all the latest figures, you can go to cacoronavirus.fr. And those figures and that website is available on our website, rivieradio.mc. Meanwhile, in Monaco, four new cases of COVID-19 were declared on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected by the coronavirus to 490. 19 people are being cared for in hospital, and 87 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. 369 people have recovered in the principality since the start of the epidemic. The town of Antibes-Juan-les-Pins is organising a distribution of masks for residents this week. The distribution will take place until Saturday, November the 14th, except for this Wednesday, November the 11th, from 12pm to 7pm. Five distribution points are being established in local neighbourhoods. In order to receive your mask, you must be domiciled in Antibes-Juan-les-Pins. An identity card, proof of address and the family record book for minors will be required when you visit a distribution point. Further details can be obtained by going to the Marie Antibes-Juan-les-Pins Facebook page or by sending an email to distributionmasks@ville-antibes.fr. Finally, La Poste Monaco is reminding customers that all post offices in the Principality will be closed this Wednesday, November the 11th, on the anniversary of the end of the First World War and a public holiday in France. Mail delivery and collection of letterboxes located on public roads will not be provided on Wednesday. Post offices will reopen at the usual times on Thursday, and mail and parcels will also be delivered normally from Thursday.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Formula One reports say the Vietnamese Grand Prix has been dropped from the 2021 calendar following the arrest on corruption charges of a key official responsible for the race in Hanoi. The event had been due to make its debut this season, but was called off because of the coronavirus pandemic. The date of next year's race has been left blank on the Formula One calendar as a result of the arrest of Nguyen Duc Chung on charges of stealing state secrets. The case is not related to his involvement in the Grand Prix. Formula One, the return of the five substitutes rule in the English Premier League this season could be up for rediscussion following a host of complaints from managers and coaches. The Premier League is the only major competition to return to three substitutes this season, and managers think the ruling is adding to injury problems. The five substitutes rule was introduced when the previous season resumed following the coronavirus lockdown. Opinion is split as to whether to return to the regulation, but more managers are reported to be favourable to the idea. Oh, haven't got any BBC football. Yeah, there it is. Sorry, skipped a place in the calendar. Here is the football from BBC.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Should the Premier League be doing more to help clubs involved in this season's Champions League? Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer say their teams need more time to recover between midweek games in Europe and weekend Premier League fixtures. It's also reignited the debate over whether there should be a return to five substitutes per match, which was adopted for the conclusion of last season but dropped for the current campaign. The former Manchester City and Tottenham midfielder Michael Brown says the managers have a point.
I mean, you look yesterday and you sort of say Pep Guardiola only made one substitution. They are calling for five. And I would say on certain games they would be able to use that squad, rotate, rest players. In the big games, again, it's so tight making those substitutions. They will be difficult at times. And listen, I just look and say the loading is far too much for the players. And are we sort of in the realms of 15% increase on injuries, etc.? Well, we are at that. The players are at more risk for sure, the amount of games. Then they go off to international duty now. obviously don't see them in the Premier League for 2 weeks, but they could play two or three times and you know, in a quick succession, and it's very, very difficult.
Five British-based Sweden internationals won't be able to play against Denmark in a friendly in Brøndby this Wednesday because of new coronavirus quarantine restrictions on non-UK visitors arriving from Denmark. The Sweden players who won't now make the trip include the Newcastle right-back Emil Kraft and the Manchester United centre-half Victor Lindelof. Denmark have selected an additional 9 players in their squad because they expect to be without 7 British-based players, including the Leicester goalkeeper Kasper Schmeichel and the Southampton centre-half Yannick Vestergaard. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Five subs. Coming useful. Rugby Union, there were 2 games in the Guinness Pro 14 on Monday night. Edinburgh beat Cardiff Blues 18-0 and Ulster beat Glasgow Warriors 40-15. And in golf, former champion Sergio Garcia is out of the Masters after testing positive for coronavirus. The 40-year-old, who won the event in 2017, tested positive after last week's Houston Open. The Masters at Augusta starts on Thursday after having been moved from its traditional early April staging because of the coronavirus pandemic.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime and the Var, the general situation, weak high pressure, 1,023 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northwesterly, force 2 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
That's going to be pretty nice again by the looks of it. Mainly fine, light variable winds. Top temperature 20 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 13 degrees on the coast, 11 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, partially cloudy, highs of 16 to 18 degrees. It's going to have to get cold at some point, isn't it?
Yes, looks that way. Finally, the buzzword of 2020. If some of us were asked to pick a word to describe this year, it might not be possible for me to say it on air, but Collins Dictionary has shown restraint in naming its word of the year 2020 by choosing...
lockdown!
Correct. Registered more than 250,000 usages of lockdown this year, up from 4,000 the year before. Collins defines lockdown as the imposition of stringent restrictions on travel, social interaction and access to public spaces. Other words on the 10 strong list include key worker, self-isolate, social distancing and coronavirus itself. Also featuring on the list is BLM, short for Black Lives Matter, and Megxit, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex departure from the royal family. The word TikToker, used to describe somebody active on the social media app TikTok, is becoming the dream profession for millions of children. And another possible job is creating a mukbang or mukbang videos. You know what that is?
No.
It's a South Korean loan word used to describe the craze of somebody sharing footage of them eating astonishing amounts of food online. Last year's word of the year was climate strike, used to describe the global demonstrations, of course, led by Swedish environmentalist Greta Thunberg.